Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Righteous One. Amen. The sermon text for this evening comes from Luke chapter 22, verse 66. At daybreak, the council of the elders of the people, both the chief priests and the teachers of the law, met together, and Jesus was led before them. The word of the Lord, let us pray. O Lord, open our minds and our hearts to your word, so that we can see your righteousness. Amen. A man with a gun walked into a gas station, handed a bag to the cashier, and told the cashier, put everything from these cash registers into that bag, hand it back to me slowly, and no one will get hurt. The cashier did it, handed the bag to the man, and the man left. The cashier immediately called the police, described the man and the vehicle, and it turns out the police were nearby. As they were going after the man, they noticed something a little strange. As they were approaching the man, even with their sirens blaring, the man was still making sure to stop at every stop sign, every stoplight, and signaling with every turn. It actually allowed the police to catch up, and they arrested the man. As they were bringing him to the police station, they asked him, you know, we got to know, why, after robbing a gas station and trying to escape, would you still, even as you saw us coming, make sure to stop at every stop sign, stop at every stoplight, signal with every turn? And the man simply replied, because I'm not a bad driver. So not being bad mattered when it came to driving, but not so much when it came to other people's possessions. That's an example of what the author of The Crucial Hours calls the semblance of legality. The Crucial Hours is a commentary on the passion history of Jesus, and it's what's setting the tone and really setting the whole theme of our whole midweek Lenten series for all the churches in our area. The author of The Crucial Hours says this about the Sanhedrin that were putting Jesus on trial. He says they were extremely anxious to maintain a semblance of legality. And we'll see tonight that sadly, they're not alone. After Jesus was betrayed and arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, they brought him to the courtyard of the chief priest. That's where they held a nighttime trial for Jesus. At this nighttime trial, they couldn't prove him guilty at all, even as they tried, and yet still they made sure to find him guilty and worthy of death. Then they punched him, slapped him, spit on him, and generally acted like a bunch of animals. After they did that, they recomposed themselves, put on sad, frowny faces, and proceeded to have a trial for Jesus. At daybreak, the council of the elders of the people, both the chief priests and the teachers of the law, met together, and Jesus was led before them. Hadn't they just had a trial for Jesus? Well, they had, but not an official one. See, the Sanhedrin was not supposed to meet at night, probably to avoid the same shady thing that happened exactly that night. And so they met under the cover of darkness in more than one way. They met and made sure not to invite a couple of members of the Sanhedrin who might have been a little sympathetic to Jesus. They wanted to make sure to engineer this guilty verdict. They didn't want anybody standing in the way of that. So as day broke then, they made sure to have an official meeting, a legal meeting of the Sanhedrin. This is what we call the semblance of legality. Now, why did they do that? They did that for a couple of reasons. First of all, they didn't want their verdict that they were going for to be thrown out on some sort of technicality. They didn't want Nicodemus or Joseph of Arimathea to go to Pilate's door and say, "Hold on, Pilate, you can't allow this because this was not a legal trial." See, they knew that Pilate cared about technicalities. You just heard one a little bit ago. Oh, we're in Herod's jurisdiction? All right, good. Send him off there. We see an example of this later on, too, when Pilate knew Jesus was innocent and yet still tried to wash his hands of any guilt. Pilate only cared about the semblance of legality. But the Sanhedrin also did this because they knew what the people were going to think if they didn't. A number of these Sanhedrin members, most of them were Pharisees. And so what did they want the people to think of them? These are righteous men. These are good men. They're following God's laws. So how dare they ever jeopardize that? So they made sure to have this legal trial so that everybody could see, oh, see? They're just doing their jobs as they're supposed to. Oh, did you hear Caiaphas? He said, it's better if one man die for the sake of the nation. How patriotic. See, in the eyes of others, the Sanhedrin wanted to maintain the semblance of legality. But it wasn't just in the eyes of others. It was also in their own eyes. It's kind of sad how a human heart can be so good at being blind to its own sin. Where did the Sanhedrin go right after this? They went to Pilate's house, the Praetorium. And when they got there, they didn't want to go in. They wanted Pilate to come out to them. Why? Because they didn't want to risk going into a Gentile's house and being declared ceremonially unclean. Then they couldn't celebrate the Passover, the festival of unleavened bread. So no, they made Pilate come out to them. So they were just fine pushing for the wrongful death of Jesus, but oh, would never become ceremonially unclean. That's like robbing a gas station and yet still trying to maintain, well, I'm not a bad driver. The semblance of legality. Makes you wonder, where do we try to put up a semblance of legality? I might tell somebody that I would never punch or strike someone, ever. And yet, we still can let our hearts be filled with anger and hatred for that person. Or even gossip and slander behind their backs. We'll tell ourselves, I would never cheat on my spouse. And yet we entertain wayward glances, lustful thoughts. We come into those doors, and we come in here and we sit and we praise God and we pray to Him and we sing songs to Him, and then we leave those doors and we nestle right back into the same old sins. But hey, at least it looked good on a Sunday morning or on a Wednesday evening. Hey, at least I was remorseful for a little bit. That's us putting up the semblance of legality. Why do we do that? We have a sinful nature, sure, I understand that, and I think we use that as justification far too much. But I think there's also another big reason. I think it's because it's easier. It's easier to put up a semblance of legality than it is to actually have full legality and morality in our lives. It's easier to pretend like we're righteous in front of some people here and there than it is to actually do that all the time. It's easier for us to follow this commandment when people are watching, or that one, instead of all of the commandments. It's not just outwardly, but even in here. It's easier for us. And then that way, our sinful mind also thinks, hey, I can have my cake and eat it too. People can see me as righteous, well, I still get to indulge in my sin. But God sees through that veneer. God sees through that empty, hollow, fake righteousness. And if you try to stand before God with just that semblance of legality, it will not go well for you on your trial. So thankfully, Jesus was much different. For Jesus, it wasn't just about the semblance of legality. No, for Him, it was the full thing, through and through. For Him, it wasn't just, I want to make sure that I'm following section 4B, subsection 5A/22.1. That's Pharisaical in thinking. No, for Jesus, it was not just the letter of the law. It was the full law, through and through. He followed every single commandment, to be sure, but He also followed the spirit and purpose of every commandment. For example, Jesus was legally bound not to murder, so He did not pull a sword when He was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus was not legally bound to heal the man whose ear Peter had cut off, yet He did it anyway. Why? Because that's the fulfillment of the law. To love God, to love your neighbor. Jesus was fully righteous through and through. What this means for you and me is that we have been gifted a righteousness that is full legality and morality through and through. When you and I stand before God someday at our trial, God is going to see through that veneer of righteousness and still see pure and holy righteousness. Nothing empty. Fully 100% righteous thanks to Jesus. God is going to see all of the times that Jesus fulfilled not just each commandment, but the spirit and purpose of all of it. You are going to get to live with God in full legality and morality, not just outwardly, but inwardly, forever and ever. Guess what else that means? You have been given a full legality and morality through and through, and therefore, you can live in that until that day. Now you can look at all of those commandments and not just pick and choose ones here and there. Now you get to treasure all of the commandments together, just like Jesus did. Now you can put up the semblance, but also withhold it in your mind and heart as well. Not just the major outward sins, but even the inward sins you can avoid. Because those ones are also important to God. You now get to live in the full purpose and all the blessings that come from the fulfillment of the law that God has given, the whole spirit and purpose behind it. And this is what you get to do in your life in every area, all thanks to Jesus. He put up with this semblance of legality so that you and I could have far more. So while the Sanhedrin were focused selfishly on putting up the semblance of legality, just like a man robbing a gas station, trying to claim he was a good driver, you and I know Jesus has given us something far more valuable. Now you and I can live in what Jesus has given us until the day we stand before God. And when we stand before God, we know that through and through, God is going to declare us not guilty in our trial. It's all because Jesus gave us far more than just the semblance of legality. Amen. May God continue to bless you with the peace that Jesus won for you, not just on the cross, but every single day of His life. Amen.